WBR Radio, its staff, management, or sponsors.
Take whatever lawful actions that I can take that I believe will improve the functioning of our immigration system, that will allow us to surge additional resources to the border, where I think the vast majority of Americans have the deepest concern. And at the same time, I'll be reaching out to both Mitch McConnell, John Boehner, and other Republican as well as Democratic leaders to find out how it is that they want to proceed and if they want to get a bill done.
Our op-ed that we wrote that says the president not only has the legal authority to act, but all the precedents of presidents before.
I believe that the president continues to act on his own. He is going to poison the well. When you play with matches, you take the risk of burning yourself. And he's going to burn himself.
Good morning. It's time for the Morning Edge here on WWPR, 1490 AM, heard Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 9 AM to 10 AM. I'm Henry Raines. Here's Augie.
Good morning, Tampa Bay. Oh, he's going to be on fire. Henry, what do you think? I mean, Boehner said he's going to burn himself. He's going to poison the well. I mean, all these dire warnings. Don't you dare sign an immigration bill.
Well, he won't have to sign an immigration bill. That's pretty sure.
Oh, what's he going to do then?
He's going to sign an executive order.
Oh, that too. Well, because we won't provide it, the immigration bill, therefore...
Well, we would provide it, but John Boehner and Mitch McConnell don't seem to be too inclined to provide it.
No, they're going to hold that out, and now there's rumors they're going to shut down the government over this, and there's some people who want to do it on the newly elected House. I tell you, maybe it's Ted Cruz that's really pushing and stirring the pot. What's the effect going to be on little old Manatee County and Bradenton in particular, or Sarasota, this whole Tampa Bay area? Are we going to go through another nightmare of government shutdowns, of tourist attractions being closed, all these things? Is that on the horizon? Is there a real threat?
Well, that's a good question, and we will pose that question at least on the local level to our guest coming up in just a few minutes, Mary Cantrell, the newly elected school board member that defeated Julie Uranabar in the last election. She is set to be sworn in this coming week along with other new member. And the question to be asked her is also a second question. The school board is considering what school board members are allowed to speak to the public about.
Yeah, there's that. Now, who is that coming from?
Well, I I guess we'll ask school board member Cantrell about that. I don't want to speculate until I have someone to speculate to across from the microphone.
I know, and I do want to ask, if any of you in the audience out there have any ideas about what Common Core is, I want you to think about asking that question of the board member when she shows up, because I think that is a very, very big question. And what I've gotten so far from...
Whatever county you live in.
Yeah, and it applies across the board everywhere. It's federally recommended or mandated to a certain extent, but it is a problem of what standards are going to be applied and what the results in the end are going to happen to children and for children.
And the Morning Edge bump continues now that Stephen Colbert has committed to moving on from his show. We're going to claim the bump now, and of course, we have our guest coming up who appeared on our show and then won election, so it must be a cause and effect. And we also, I can't remember if you were traveling or you were on some kind of research project, Augie, but you weren't here when the members, five Manatee County High School students of Slipstream.
Oh, the Slipstream of graphite covered racing car.
Right. The competition that's been going on around the world for years. They are currently in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, for the international competition.
And where the money is.
And they are, team members consist of Merritt Kenzior, Madeline Kumar, Hannah Figueres, Dominic Alois, and Victoria Sinclair. So we wish them all the best.
Congratulations, guys. I hope you win. Or come close, to at least become.
And if you win, we take credit.
Yeah, we'll take the credit. We'll take it all, absolutely, without a doubt.
Right. Well,
we've got someone in the studio right now, Mary Cantrell. Congratulations on your victory in the election for school board, and I'm sure you're on tenterhooks as to what you expect to do in the upcoming year.
Look at that on her lapel there. Sure that you got the flag. Everybody has the flag. But the school board member lapel there.
She brought an official plaque that lets her get through the front door without being arrested. Yeah.
Right, that's
and
right.
Her little flag is all encrusted in diamonds and rubies and whatever, and sapphires, no less.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm just certain that's what those are.
Good morning, Mary.
How are you this morning, sir?
Yeah, fine. Well, here we're doing that sir thing. How about that? Sign of respect, right?
Yeah, I hope that's what it is.
Or sarcasm, one of the two.
Mary, we've got a different mic for you this time than the last time. It's working better, but just turn it a little bit more towards you, please.
Yeah, trace it.
It'll rotate.
On.
That's fine.
Is that good?
Oh, that's
shoot
great.
Right down the pipe there.
All right.
Sounds like you're right across the table from us.
Okay.
One of the early questions that I brought up to the audience, maybe you heard it on the radio, is I'd like to hear a definition from someone, because I've been casting about for some time now. What are Common Core standards, and how are they applied, and what do they mean?
Okay, the Common Core standards were set by not the federal government. However, Bill Gates had a lot to do with it, and corporations. There's a lot of controversy over them. Our legislature approved for Florida, sort of a mandate for Florida to use the language one and the math one.
The language one and the math one.
Right. And the math one is the one I think I've heard the most, you know, concern about, where if you
it's
have
a binary system that they're talking about, right?
Right, where you get it to a 10, like 9 minus 3. You wouldn't just say it was 6. You would say, well, 9 plus 1 would be 10 that we took away from that 4. So, and
but without getting too confused, all right?
That's very confusing.
When you have a child who has 5 digits, including a thumb, mm-hmm. on each hand, and you hold up all 5 on both ends, you have 10. So it's easy for them to communicate from that perspective. If you show that 10 times, that's 100. And then you can take numbers away by the digits and so forth. It's an easy illustration. People have complicated it because people are used to an older system of knowing what 30 is, therefore you 3 times 10 is 30. Well, you don't do it that way. You know 30 is whatever. And we've got this all muddled with the old form of learning versus the binary form. And the hands are the key to the whole thing. And then 10 times 100 is 1,000 and so on and so on and so on.
Just a minute, sir. Are you telling me that you want all the children to be counting on their fingers?
That's not counting on your fingers.
If you showed me your hands.
I show you your hands, but they didn't do 1, 2, 3. You assume the 5 plus 5 is 10, and then 10 times 10 is 100, and so on. Uh-huh. And you have a simpler way than counting on your fingers, yes. That's my understanding.
Well, elaborate a little bit on what you were telling, because just what you explained to the audience, I don't know that they necessarily catched.
Okay. It is used on the binary numbers, the 10. And the concept is it's easier to use a 10.
Yeah.
Because we have 10 fingers. But although if I saw children with 10 fingers going like this, I would not be a happy teacher. So instead of doing 9 minus 3 is 6, which the way we were taught, it's 9 plus 1 makes it 10.
I'm sorry, why is it called binary? I thought that was 2.
It's 2 hands.
No, because I remember back when I was in school in like the 60s and 70s, before I knew what computers were before we knew what personal computers were. They were teaching us base and, like, binary system base 2, because I didn't know at the time, but that's how computer programming was being done. And I guess they were trying to get us ready for that. Of course, we don't need that anymore. We just talk into Google and, you know, we get what we want.
It's already printed out for you.
Yeah, but, you know, but so why isn't it like base 10 then? Why isn't it a DECA system or something like
that? Yeah,
well, I guess that's not really your
yeah.
your job description.
Right. You know, I like the memorization of, you know, what's 7 minus 2? It's going to be 5. And to learn that, and that's probably the way you learned your math, probably the way you learned your math also. And basically, we only have 10 numbers. And then how to manipulate it when all of a sudden you've got a 3 or 4 or 5 6-digit numbers. And once you understand the concept of how you add and subtract, you can then learn how to divide, multiply, and it becomes quite actionable.
Why can't both things be taught?
Most of the children already know one way, and that's the 9 minus 3 is going to leave you 6. So that's where the confusion is. And then when parents try to help their children with their homework, which is a good bonding exercise, I think. If you have a parent, that's true. But every child has someone that is serving as a parental unit. Now, like we're now on Coneheads.
Well, you do have homeless kids. I'm aware of in Sarasota County. Anyway, I don't know about Manatee.
Well, usually the children are
living in cars.
Okay.
And they're not living at home.
Okay, but they have a parental unit in that car with them because they're not driving the car, unless you're talking about someone that is at least 16.
Well, it's questionable. Let's put it that way. We're uncertain in that little arena,
okay.
And the plight that these children are in is maybe the exception, not the rule, but it's something to be aware of. Is all I'm bringing it up.
When the parental unit is asleep. And the student is trying to remember what the teacher unit was telling the student. Give us more about how this is going to work.
I think when the parents first saw this, you know, you subtract one, you know, you take one from, going back to my example of 9 minus 3 would leave 6. Well, then you would make the 9 a 10 by taking one away from the 3. So you have 10 minus 3.
It seems like
be careful.
You're getting into a complicated shuffle.
And I don't have my paper
so what you're
here.
Really, aren't you,
I don't do
aren't
any
you,
math by head.
Aren't you really saying you take a number lower than 10, you have to pull a number from either the 10 or you have to pull it from the bottom of the counting?
Yeah.
Rather than get into the mechanics of that particular system, I think what people are concerned about, though, is where it's coming from, which is where you started with it, that the Gates Foundation is a driver of this with the money that their largesse that they're handing out to school districts and things like that. And it comes back to what your role is. You were elected to the school board. A lot of parents wonder, why can't our local school board make these decisions for our children? We're the ones that are direct face-to-face, just like we are right now with you.
And traditionally, all of the decisions have been local. It's always been a local school board. You know, I think that is also one of the upsetting things. And no one really knows who wrote these standards.
Well, all intentions well and good at the local level. The failure rate of students is so great at the local level, frankly, overall throughout this country. I mean, Florida is not ranked very high nationally. I think they're 36th, if that, and maybe Florida, Sarasota, Manatee County are high up in the 36th, but they're very low in the country, and the country is very low in the world. I mean, we're 17th or falling in math and science worldwide, so they're looking at international standards. Other children from other countries are coming here who have, at fifth grade levels, are learning algebra and other languages. Third to fifth grade are when they're starting it in Germany, for example, which has an 85% success rate in math and science. So the countries that are successful with a Western European background, like we have, actually, and Japan is another one, have an even a higher rate, and the Asians, all students, comes in with a discipline to study and a system of study. So this is the intention, I understand, from the Gates Foundation and others. If we don't do this, other countries are going to come in, and their top students, adults, whatever, are going to take over the jobs, and our people are going to be shoved aside. Now, where do we come down at the local level trying to combat that?
When you look at the purpose of schools, we have severely gotten off the track of what the purpose of a school is. And a purpose of a child going to school is to learn English, math, science, social studies, and to be prepared to enter the world of adults, either working first, or some go to work first, some go on to continue their education. But now we've kind of diluted education, and every new buzz thing that happens, a social program, and our educational system has become more of a social program than pure education to prepare people for eventually going to work. I think everybody's, as a parent, I know my goal was my kid to get a job and go to work after the right amount of education and everything. So, but when economic times are hard, and we've gone through some hard ones, you're going to cut a social program. An economic program, you're going to keep a strong economic program. And that's what we should look at education as, a strong economic program. When I first came in, I was listening to you talking to about our students being Abu Dhabi. Sounds like a mysterious place.
Sounds like a footnote.
It is a mysterious place.
It is mysterious. And, we've been competing in this for several years. And Margie Nanny took students first in international competition. They walked away with gold. And one of those students was accepted into MIT, and in his application, they told him it was his performance in F1 in schools, and slipstream is part of F1 in schools. That is purely an economic. So U.S. kids are winning internationally. One of our 14-year-olds actually placed third in the world in Microsoft, and I do not remember the specific program. I wanted to say Excel, but I really don't know. But, we can achieve greatness. Mm-hmm. But
can we really do it in a broader way? I mean, it's the classroom situation, not the individual who has a parent who gets them over the hump faster. We've got a caller.
We have a caller, and we have an open line. If you want to speak with Mary Cantrell, Dr. Mary Cantrell, newly elected school board member of Manatee County, 941-745-1490. Let's speak with Pat, please. Good morning, Pat.
Morning, Pat.
Good morning. I would like to just make a comment first about they said the three main arguments for core curriculum was that students will learn more if their learning targets are set higher. Students will learn more if the passing grade for the state test is set higher.
Pat, are you, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Pat. Are you on a speakerphone? We're getting a feedback from you.
We have an echo.
Okay. And students will learn more if lesson plans and textbooks are all made more complex and rigorous. So I have two questions, and then I also have one other comment, because I wanted to know how, if we're losing kids already because they can't keep up, how are those higher standards going to work? Because we can do everything we can in school, but we can never equalize home situations where some children have parents who can help them and other students have parents who don't give the care, So the aim of Common Core, the way I understand it, is to encourage students to rise to the academic occasion. So how can we do that if we don't work harder to try to bring this stuff down to the student individually somehow? That's one question. How can we not lose people that we've already lost if we raise the standards? And then this program apparently was made by the National Governors Association. They're the ones that came up with this. But the federal funding comes from President Obama's Race to the Top initiative, which will fund states who take on Common Core. But I want to ask her, are state board members appointed by the governor, or are they, how are they selected, and is do they have to have any educational experience in their background, or can they just be
somebody who gave
a lot of money?
I think you're talking about the Board of Education at the state level.
Like the commissioner?
Yes.
And those
are
appointed.
Thank you for dealing with me. I just wanted, I had to get all that out, so I'll listen on the air.
Thank you very much.
The commissioner, they're typically appointed. To go back to your kind of original question about how can we not lose students, if when you look at the students that tend to fall behind in the first, second, and third grade is critical. We know from research that if it's in third grade, if we don't get them caught up, that we're looking at a potential dropout. But the one thing that correlates with the ones that are going to have difficulty is their economic status of the family, which if their family does not have a strong economic background, this child is going to be at risk. And we get extra funding for, and we have a Title I dollars, and the Title I dollars, and it can be if enough percent of the students at that school are Title I. And right now we're not really meeting the needs of those children, because many of our Title I schools are F schools. And I think the school board and the superintendent have already taken strides to try to correct that and give them more resources.
Excuse me, Mary, but you said F schools, meaning the grade is F. Is that grading system going to continue as it was?
There will be it's not the way it was, because it's based on the FCAT, and the FCAT will go away. But it will be based on the number, the percent that graduate, the percent that do this, the percent that earn industry certifications. They throw a lot of different things in trying to make it fair. But when you're looking at elementary, you're really looking at their reading, math, grades. Mm-hmm. And that starts in the third grade.
And maybe you defined it. What was a Title I school?
It's one that a certain percent of the students are economically disadvantaged.
Okay.
And we know that they're at risk. So we need to spend more money there than in a school that's very affluent.
I've seen papers coming out from, in particular, the Sarasota School Board, and I get arguments from people involved with that as to the, you start out with 1,000 students in the freshman year. There's no freshman year. You have 2 years of middle school, and then you have, but for the last 4 years of K through 12, including middle school, you have 1,000 students, you end up with 500 finishing, and the excuse is, well, they've left the area or they've failed and dropped out. Well, it looks as though the system is failing when you see those numbers drop off so radically at the end of graduation.
How do we do in Manatee County on the dropout rate?
How do you do here?
Our dropout rate is pretty consistent with everyone's. When you look at...
We're consistently mediocre?
Yes. I wasn't going to put it exactly that bluntly, but...
Well, you're just getting started.
I'm just getting started. Right now is when I should say all those things so I can say, oh, that was someone else's problem. But it's our problem, because these are the people that eventually, even though you're much younger than I am, you're going to want to draw Social Security. And when you draw Social Security, there's got to be someone working. And so if we're not preparing these young people to go to work, eventually go to work. That's what I want. I want you to go to work. And if you go to work, then you can contribute so I can draw Social Security, and it'll even be there many years from now when you're eligible for Social Security. So I think education is an economic system. And
is there somebody young?
You've got to feel better this morning, Henry. You're fresh and bright and bushy-tailed. The one thing about this, there's a forum coming up on a week from Monday.
Well, I happen to have information about that.
There you go.
It's the 2014 Economic Justice Forum, sponsored by the Southwest Florida Coalition for Peace and Justice. And it's headlined, Building a Regional Economy to Keep and Attract Youth. Well, you have to be there to to get in on that.
All right. Well, let me tell you how we can do that in a very.
Well, let me give the date and time here first.
Oh yes.
Always self-promote. Florida Studio Theater, Cabaret Theater on Palm Avenue. It's Monday, November 24th, so it's right around the corner at 7 p.m. You can get more information by calling 941-586-6839. That's 941-586-6839. And some of the guests that will be there, the moderator will be Rob Lori, managing editor of WEDU Florida This Week, as well as news director from WMNF 88.5. Chris Willey, the editorial page editor of the Brandon Herald. Jane Goodwin from the Sarasota School Board. Attorney Dan Lobeck from Control Growth Now. And Augie, help me up on the
first. Aisha Summersand.
She's professor of economics from the University of Wisconsin. And, again, call 941-586-6839 to find out how you can attend Monday, November 24th at 7 p.m.
There is a charge. It's $25 at the door, but it isn't free. But if you're a student and you can get a sponsor, it'll be free for you. And the point of this, the title is important, Wasting Away in Margaritaville, or Tampa Bay, if you will, building a regional economy to keep and attract youth. So aside from preparing people for jobs, this area is losing the brightest students. And I was talking to someone who was 45 years old, who was a financial advisor and so forth, and I showed him this. He said, well, I'm going to go to that. And I said, so what do you tell young people? He said, well, I'm very successful in my business, and I tell them to. I said, do you tell them to stick around here and get into the business? And he says, no, I tell them to get the hell out of here. So, you know, you've got people who want a vacation here, who want to retire here, and right in this community, you have students ready to fly as soon as they can, or sooner. And so the dropout failure rate may be increasing because that knowledge is afoot, and it's a situation that is endemic, and you guys are stuck as heads of school boards to try to make the students here worth it all. There's a situation back at the time of the building of a plant, I think by Honda or Toyota, I forget which, a Japanese company, in Spring Hill, Tennessee, and they tested people coming in for jobs to work for them. They had to go to postgraduate students coming out of university to do math problems, to run the machines in that factory in Spring Hill, Tennessee. This is 20 years ago. So, and the improvement isn't there nationwide. It isn't just Manatee, Tampa Bay, whatever. It's everywhere throughout this country. So the system of finding a way to raise the level so that other people, students from other countries who speak two or three languages, including English, take a knock us out of the picture. I mean, if it isn't just the migrants who are going to get knocked out, it's your students that are going to our system right here, right now.
Well, we have a caller standing by, and before we go too far down another topic line, I want to tie up some threads there that you all have left out there. But let's go, and we do have an open line. We can work you in at 941-745-1490. Let's go to Ken, please. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Ken. Good morning, guys. Do you have any numbers on the graduation rates of students that come from communities where parents are earning a decent living and can comfortably provide food, shelter, clothing for their families, as opposed to students coming from poor communities where parents are struggling with low-wage jobs and can't provide for the needs of their families? And I would talk about right here in Manatee and Sarasota County, where close to 20% of kids are living at or near the poverty level, and 50% of the children in Sarasota and Manatee County schools are on a school feeding program because they don't get enough to eat it at home. So what are those numbers? And I think Augie alluded to this, kids that graduate here from locally from colleges don't hang around because though the cost of living is fairly high and the cost of housing is high, wages are poor. So I'll hang up and listen.
All right. I do want to contest that last point, too. But also, go ahead and address Ken. And I also will point out that the recent United Way survey that was just in the last day or two in the news, that over 40% of families have trouble making just the necessities of living, meeting those expenses.
Is that
too.
This area or nationally?
The state of Florida and this area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In order to get you the right statistics, the school board has a Department of Communications, and they maintain those. And the person in charge, his name is Steve Valley. It's like the Valley.
V-A-L-L-Y or V-A-L-L-E-Y?
V-A-L-L-Y. I think.
Okay.
I'm not
too
sure.
Not like the Valley.
I've never written his name, but he's very helpful, and his phone number is area code 941-708-8770.
Well, that's right off the top you pull that out. That's very good. And he's cooperative to
he's very much so, and if you tell him this is kind of what I'd like to know what the graduation rate is based on economic family economics, and somewhere he's on the inside, and so he'll know where to look to get that to you. And again, that number is area code 941-708-8770.
The thing that Ken raises is the issue of even with everything else being said, the children of the affluent make it and the others don't. And there's too many of the others, and the system doesn't make it so that they can make it.
What do you consider making it? If I told you I had a 19-year-old and that he entered a welding program, which is, of course, right now my favorite program of all time, and went to work at Air Products, starting salary was about $35,000 a year. I think that's a very competitive.
And that's
what
I wanted to take up before
match.
You go down this, because Ken raised it and Augie raised it, and being the one person in the room, I think, with two daughters that either just graduated or are graduating and looking for employment, of course, they want to leave their hometown just because that's what kids like to do. But when you look at their specialties, if you're looking at healthcare, we have a world-class research center in the Tampa Bay area with Moffitt, as well as all the other healthcare opportunities here.
Raycom is right here.
We're a worldwide center for exercise science, and with IMG as a driver. We have we are Manatee and Sarasota counties are listed as the best small cities for the arts. So there's all kinds of opportunities
that
here.
I will certainly take exception to, but that's all right.
Pardon me?
I'm impressed.
What are you taking exception to?
That they're the worldwide center for the arts.
I didn't say that. I said they're listed as the best small cities for the arts as far as a growing arts community. The Manatee Players was featured by the Wall Street Journal as a success story.
Sure.
So this area, but people say they want to get out of here, but it's not because there aren't jobs here. We have a growth rate here now that the economy's rebounded, just like we have for the last few decades. So you can make the argument that schools don't prepare you for jobs, but don't make the argument that this region doesn't have jobs.
Well, if you're not prepared for the jobs that are out there, then others from the outside come in.
You won't be prepared in Georgia or Alabama or New York.
You're going to go where you think it might. You might have a manufacturing job that will pay you something starting out with that, with an internship and so forth, on-the-job training or some other thing that's not here. I mean, Manatee County is far and away better for low-paying, low-level technologies than Sarasota.
And before we get to other new things, as I've been sitting here listening to all this, to get back to the fundamental question that people at the Tea Party and other groups raise, and I guess this is where I have a creeping Tea Partyism in me. The idea,
creepy,
you told me of this different success stories with Slipstream, the F1 in schools, another example you gave us. It seems to me you're making the case that what we have is already working. And as a product of Manatee County Schools, I don't know how it is elsewhere, but as I spent this and then my kids went through this, we talked about the binary system for math, and we had new math when I was a kid, and then also things that went through. It's like the education industrial complex always has a new gimmick. There's always something that's supposed to be better. I mean, you go to the to Thomas Dewey,
my hero.
There's always something that's supposed to be better. The grass is always greener, which is why people that want to say, I want more local control for my kids, can you address why we shouldn't have more local control, why we want to give it up? And, Augie, maybe you're the one that should be addressing this because you're always talking about how we need national standards.
Well, yes, and I really think it should start with teachers because the kind of teachers you put to... I brought this up to someone recently, and they said, well, you can't... if you don't have a discipline under your belt, after 1 year in Sarasota County, you're booted or you're shifted or whatever. And I know of certain situations where people have been told, and who currently, and it's in Manatee County that a certain teacher was told, well, you just show the movies and you'll fill up the time. And it's a very prominent high school right here.
I love movie day.
Yeah, I know. And it's every day. So, play with your computer games and fill up the time that way. I mean, that's what goes on and passes for, unquote, education. And this is a person who had a master's in sociology from USF. So my contention has always been that if you do not, and I brought it up in our conversation with you earlier, Mary, and that was, what was your educational background in terms of a discipline? And you said, well, I have an education degree and a doctorate in education, and I personally don't have the fondest regard for that. But you said, well, I have 30 hours in this subject and 30 hours in this subject, and so I'm more qualified than just the education degree itself. And I think that's to your credit that you do that. But then in terms of that, I still contend a teacher who doesn't know a subject can't teach it. And they can't just hand off a book to them and say, look at it, or a movie and look at it, and hope that the kid somehow is going to get something from that. So that is practical in the class situations that go on day after day after day. So what do
now,
you...
Wait. I've got to defend teachers, because often on this campaign trail, I have met some teachers that are dedicated, that are hardworking, that you would... I've absolutely fallen in love with Manatee teachers. Everyone that I spoke to, everyone that I visited a classroom, I was overwhelmed at the variety and the attention that they had from the students. But these were all very passionate teachers, and I think when you can
match... So they didn't bore their students?
No. And I don't remember ever walking in any of their classrooms where there was a movie showing. When someone, I'm going to use a very specific person. His name's Gary Colpitz, and he was the chair of our culinary department. He had such a burning passion for food and the preparation and it looking right and everything. And he built our program. And he was so good, USF stole him away, but that's good because then that gives our students a place to go for, you know, to continue their education, get a bachelor's degree in culinary or in hospitality. So there's a continuation. So when we're hiring, we need to hire people that have a passion for what it is you want them to teach. And that if you don't have the passion, if all you're doing is just, okay, right, here's a page, and I need all of you to just fill in the dates.
Well,
let me ask you a question, because, again, it's something you've said many times, and now I got Mary at my back here. So
I got your back. Don't worry.
What is it in the Florida requirements for certification in a particular subject, whether it be science or math or English, that you think is lacking? Because I looked at the chance of getting employment as a teacher, and I looked at what you got to do to get certified. It's not easy.
So what did you experience? I had certification from Illinois when I was years.
Well,
ago.
I know there's a certain amount of hours you have to have
18
specialty
hours,
the
New York, California, Illinois standards have always been about 18 hours of education certification, which is what I call the methodology of reading directions, and all in all, a waste, except for a couple of courses which I had taken and I passed.
But you talked about in their specialty, in science or math, but I believe there's requirements for that.
Excuse me, Henry, no, that's not the case. The education departments decide what they will certify you on within the states, and that's what you're certified on, not in your discipline necessarily. But in the discipline they set forward as the certification itself.
All right, now, Florida's a little bit different because if you want to be certified in English, you have to have a certain amount of credits in that, and you have to have certain academic courses
You're telling me that teaching certification isn't a generalized thing. You have to be certified in a discipline?
Doesn't
the bachelor's degree certify you in the first place?
No.
Really?
No. If you have a bachelor's degree in sociology, psychology, anthropology, which I think are the top three bachelor's degrees awarded in the state of Florida, and only 5% of our graduates from colleges in the state of Florida are in the hard sciences, the engineers and things like that, and most of those are foreigners.
I'm on the Florida Department of Education website right now, and for a professional certificate, besides the general process requirement,
You're going to come away with a bachelor's. What certification beyond that are you required?
I can click on these to get you the details, but then beyond the bachelor's, that's like the entry point. Then you have to have a subject area knowledge requirements. You have a mastery of general knowledge, a mastery of professional preparation, educational competence. And then if I click on the subject area of knowledge, I'll open that in a separate one. And no, that's not it.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to slow this down because I'm going to have to click on other links to bring up the individual disciplines.
This is from how many years ago, I don't know, but like in social studies, you have to have so many hours in economics, so many hours in history, so many hours in the different disciplines of social studies. But
as I'm looking at now, I won't read them all because it's so lengthy, but there looks to be about 24 individual areas of expertise that you have to meet the criteria for.
So there's no generalized education certification, because I was offered a job years ago to teach at Sarasota High, and the principal says, well, you've got two masters, so we'll just forget about that. You've got all the requirements that I would need. And I've talked to you, and I know what you're talking about. That was very nice of him to say that. I said, well, I'll have to think about it. But and I asked him at the time, this is some years ago now, I said, so a certification of education requirements coming out of Illinois, well, that more than satisfies what we need in Florida. Well,
20 years ago when I investigated at that time in my working career, it was much easier. I could have gone forward with my bachelor's degree and gotten a job teaching. And then I could, it wasn't a requirement, but I could then have gotten other certifications on top of that. When I went back and looked just a few years ago, I was pleasantly as a parent, but unpleasantly surprised as a job seeker, like, oh, gosh, that ship already sailed on me. That's a little late to start this.
So you're going to have all different certifications, what you're telling me, coming in Florida.
There is much higher level of requirements on that.
Whatever higher means, yeah.
I don't know the number of hours in each discipline, but there was a certain amount of training you needed in each discipline, and then you had to pass an exam in that discipline.
What if you've already got a bachelor's or a master's?
That just got you to the point that you could start the process.
So Florida overrides the higher degrees that are from universities elsewhere that come in here, and they're going to say you've got to have a certification in it as well?
We do have reciprocity.
Reciprocity.
That's that word, yes. Yeah. We do have that with several states. And if you have that, and if you're certified in another state in English, math, science, social studies, then we accept that.
Does certification extend to a graduate degree or undergraduate degree itself? Does that correlate or not? You have a math a bachelor's degree in math and science coming out of whatever University of Illinois or something like that. Do you still have to be certified in that?
Yes.
You're kidding.
And now they've added all the testing. Like if you decide that you want to become a school principal or a school administrator of any type, then you'll have to pass the Feeley exam. First, you have to get a master's degree in ed leadership. Then you have to take a state
education leadership.
Education.
We're down to our last 2-3 minutes here.
Oh no!
Yes, you'll have to come back again.
Oh, good, good, good.
But there was
my favorite time.
You just had a workshop, I believe, of preparation for being sworn in. This coming school board meeting will be your first, right?
Yes, sir.
And one of the topics that came up, well, there were two topics. Maybe we can work both of these in. on public information requests and the idea that maybe you need separate cell phones, and also in communication aspect, maybe this is the higher priority one, that there may need to be new guidelines, and I guess that affects us here from and seeing you, that you have, there will be guidelines on what you can say to the public?
Yeah, what's that about?
I think that one yesterday, the decision was, what we're doing now is just sort of trying to get a feel for what others...
Why did it come up?
Yeah, how did that arise?
We're writing all of our... this process started before I was elected, but it's a very good process. They're writing all of the rules for the board members.
Recommended rules or rules existing?
No. They had some, but I think they were over 10 years old, and so they brought in some experts that have been working on that.
Outside consultant?
Consultant, yes.
Oh, wow. Be careful.
You know what an outside consultant is. They carry a briefcase.
They get a check, too.
Yes, a nice... Lordy. Well, but anyway...
What's that going to do to people?
But anyway, what they're trying to do is, with the Sunshine Law, it's kind of confusing if you've never been involved with it. So any kind of text message you receive, any kind of... if they're discussing anything that might come before the board, then you have to archive that so that if sometime 5 years down the road someone wants to see what you said...
So who's going to throw their cell phone away first? I mean, this thing sounds like a nightmare ready to happen if you're going to have... And they were talking about giving cell phones in addition that would be archived as well.
Well, now, let me tell you what I've done. When I was on the campaign trail, this is the cell phone that I used, and it was published. So most people have that number. And I will continue to use this, and I just take it to the administrative assistant that downloads everything in there. If I'm sending an email, I will use the district email, and therefore it's automatically archived.
So was my text to you last night confirming the interview? Is that part of the public record for the school board? Is that?
I hate to break your heart, but I don't think they're going to bring up the radio station.
Is that a requirement that you're going
to... No. But now, if someone wanted to, the only thing that you're covered in is if you're doing it during work time. This is not my work time, or if it involves something that's potentially or is coming for the board. So if someone sends me a text of vote no on X, well, that I better archive that one immediately. Or if someone,
Augie, we could get you to send Mary some special pictures over the cell phone, and then I'll do a public information request. And when it hits the papers, we're going to get all kinds of publicity for the radio show.
What is on your mind? Or in your mind?
Brett Favre.
Oh, yeah, right. You're thinking of Brett Favre.
I'm thinking of self-promotion, Augie.
Your favorite guy, right?
But I think all the board members and everyone, they really want to, if there's a request for any of my emails...
You don't want to be in violation of Sunshine.
That's right. I want to follow...
It all comes down to that. And so in terms of that, as one of your board members that's extant, that is Mr. Dave Miner, he's been faced or brought, that issue's been brought before him, and that has to have come up in conversation recently. Where is that?
Mr. Miner uses one of those that, remember the ones that used to flip open that you couldn't text on? Aha, that's what he has.
Uh-huh.
So he does not have text messages. If you text him, he can't get it anyway, so he's clear.
He's safe.
He's
that,
the
that,
smart
that old
one.
Boy, you're the thing going on there.
Yeah. Oh, what a smart devil we have here. Now, wait, I need to go back to certification because I have a little point of pride here. When I was working for the school board, I had more areas of certification than anyone else that was employed by the school board. I'm certified to teach or to have roles in probably about 7 or 8 different things. And I love going to school. And if I always learn something that will help. And it may not be what the teacher thought I should learn, but I will learn something.
Well, Florida has a... penchant for certifying everything under the sun and more. And it's a state excuse for, we don't know what the hell we're doing, so we'll make somebody get certified in that. I'm not saying you don't, but it's an imposition they put forward. And by the way, we can tax, we won't call it a tax, we'll call it a fee. And it's been primarily coming out of the conservative branch of government, if you will, that's been pushing this stuff. And well, you've got a certified plumber, haven't you? Well, I don't know. You have a certified electrician. Well, I don't know. Or you mean you might have somebody that could be illegal? We could find them. We'll find a way to chase them down and find them. I mean, Lord, this.
He's getting nervous.
Yeah. So anyway, we're coming.
I was just like, oh, there's something else we didn't get to today. We were going to talk about immigration and its effect on the school system.
Yeah.
I know, and I was all prepared for that.
Well, that's why you have to come back. Maybe what we need to do is have you and another board member come back and have that conversation.
That's a little bit more difficult.
We need another mic.
We'll take his mic away.
You take my.
My mic's the dangerous one.
See how quickly they turn. I've really enjoyed you guys. I think you're wonderful.
Now, really, you were originally an English teacher?
My major, what I really wanted to do was
you stop her. She was flattering us.
He was afraid it would turn too quickly. I wanted to teach business, but at that time, before computers, it was manual typewriters. I knew that those were positions that people lived until they died, and they continued to teach even after death, I think. So I made sure I was certified in English and social studies.
Because when you come back and we talk about English, I want to talk about the war on adverbs with you.
I have a lot of really things that drive me crazy. Like if you use a colon after a verb or a preposition, no, no, no. If you say December the 5th,
to be continued,
and you put a TH on there, well, that's
thank you,
wrong.
Mary Cantro, good luck at your new school board meeting.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you for inviting me.
No, this has been fun.
Pleasure meeting you.
Okay.
And not meeting you.
The second time.